Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show.
It may well possess a rudimentary intelligence.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Felt a great disturbance in the force.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ray.
Come on, Mark, like a dog for me.
Where's the goodies?
Leave the gun. Take the cannoli.
I bet you wouldn't have done anything like this if Mom and Dad were here.
You filthy criminal.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Here are your hosts, Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
We're back. Everything Old is New Again. Douglas Viviani with the, let's put it this way, the gentleman that's quite a character himself, David Cohen.
Why do you say that, Doug?
I say that you're a character because, you know what, it's the end of yet another year of Everything Old is New Again. We, in 2017, in April, believe it or not, we did embark on our third year.
It's amazing.
Of Everything Old is New Again. We did 188 shows so far.
Wow.
188. And we fought the good fight to try to make radio fun again.
Yes.
That's what it's all about.
And so when you say character, it's because we have created or had certain characters come on our show.
Believe it or not, and even though we did that, we have grown from last year 24 stations to now 38 stations in this year.
Imagine how much we could have grown if we just continued to, the more characters, the better is what you're saying. The less that you and I are heard, the more stations we're generating.
I guess that's possible. That's an investigation that someone that's got a larger mind than I have, somebody like a Sherlock Holmes would have to solve that problem.
True.
And we did, if you remember, let's revisit last year, we did have a visit on Everything Old is New Again from Sherlock Holmes and Mr. Watson, or
That's
Dr.
Right.
Watson, and they were looking at our show and evaluating it from what they thought. They didn't know what the device was, but they had found in time travel. Somehow our phone got transported back to the Victorian ages, and were hearing clips of our show.
Right, and they were trying to figure out what it was.
Right, so they made a conclusion. So let's just catch up.
Sure.
Hear the conclusion they made basically 1 year ago today about our show.
Well, all I can tell you is that Holmes, at some point in time, whatever it is in the future, you are a very known individual. You're quoted. Your philosophies of deduction last long beyond your years.
Well, I'd be nothing without you, my loyal servant, Watson, so thank you greatly, and let's only pray that this whole thing is just a bad nightmare.
I'm glad that I went to college to medical school and I did internships and I did all of this to become a doctor, to become your servant. That's very happy to hear.
That's the path you chose, Watson, and I admire you for it.
We'll be back at it next week.
Oh, we're back for the podcast here.
I thought Watson was a sign.
I'm so glad.
I thought Watson was a sidekick, wasn't he?
I mean, he sounded like one.
He is, but just the way he phrased it, my servant.
Did he call him a servant? I'm sorry. I'm glad I went to medical school to be a servant. That's great. See, that's a thing. They should have talked it out, the two of them.
See, that's what happens, ladies and gentlemen. We actually plan very little of that other than the clips. And we go from there. And sometimes you hit upon something funny that just,
we thought it was funny anyway.
There you go. So that's a little piece of the pie.
Is there any chance that our listening audience found that remotely as funny as we did?
I don't know. It's a very good question. Maybe you should write to us at oldnewagain@aol.com. Let us know if you enjoyed that. We'll revisit that in a second, but just something I have to get out of the way. Every year, every show, I call David Cohen a certain name. And every year, we look back at the number of names and different names that I called the best co-host in radio. And so let's take a look at those, and then we'll see what we're going to do, if anything.
I've never heard that one.
Holmes and Watson.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again, and of course, this is the aforementioned Douglas Viviani. I'm with the rather organic ever wizardly, the ever fantastical, with the wizard himself, the movie connoisseur himself, sportsman himself, with the ever amused young wanderer himself, what would we say, Marlin himself, the ever inquisitive, the rather astonishing, the rather simian-like, the rather famished, rather ravenous, jazzy, the ever impressionable, the ever soulful, with the young and communicative, ever, I'll call him the everything old is new again clipper himself, the rather competitive, the gamer himself, the vintage gamer himself, ever irascible, the ever cantankerous, the ever paternal, the rather indecisive, the rather excited, rather inexplainable, ever intrepid David Cohen. Do you match any of those names, do you think?
I could pick maybe one out of them. I don't even remember what it is, but I did hear one.
That's about 52 names right there. Just throw it at
you. Wow.
Yeah, how about that? All right, so let's take a look. I think we could go back. I'm getting this beacon that we should go back. I've lost my phone again, and I think that if we can, through the magic of radio, track my phone and hear what's going on with my phone, wherever it is, I think it might be back in the Victorian ages again. We could hear.
Oh, is it possible that
it's
that
possible Holmes is on
Holmes
the case?
Holmes has it again.
Yeah. Let's go back in time and let's see what happens with that. All right, let's. The next thing you hear, I think, might be our phone. Let me click this button here. All right, let's see what it say.
So again, Watson, I sincerely apologize for referring to you as a servant. I meant no harm by it. I just hope you have it in you to forgive me so we can move on as the diligent team that I believe we are.
Well, Holmes, I have no really objection to that. I just wanted to point out the fact that for the listening audience, or anybody else listening on the bar here, that you know, I'm not just a little servant here, man. I am an educated individual.
Being that we've now had this discussion ongoing for close to 1 year to the day, I trust that it is now time to go back and listen further to this listening device we seem to have uncovered.
Yes, let's press this button. Let's get right to it. Let's listen.
So you know how most of the lawns in the Disney parks are very manicured, very meticulously manicured. Everything
yes.
looks perfect. But if you go to the Haunted Mansion and look at the surroundings, that lawn and everything that grows on it is left to grow out and die. They actually let it die to match the mood of the ride.
That's what I tell my wife every weekend in the summer when the grass is not cut.
Match the mood of the house. Inside and outside
exactly.
the house?
Exactly. Oh, boy. I'm going to leave it there because I could talk about
that. That should
really
be a ride. I'd like to visit the Viviani house.
That's a
going.
Show unto itself. I'm biting my tongue because I don't want to get into trouble. Not that she listens to the show or anything.
Well, here we go. Back to square one with these two characters.
Yes. Well, as usual, they seem to be enjoying themselves quite a bit. I'm not sure who was listening and whether they were enjoying themselves.
It seems to me that, yes, they were talking about some kind of Disneyland, some kind of Adventureland, something of this nature. Mm-hmm. I don't really understand what
yes.
they're talking about. But they sure do have a grand time by themselves.
Completely oblivious to the fact that people might have been listening to them.
Yes, and they're downtrodden. They're talking about themselves in a manner that's very discriminating, where, you know, the wife is listening by, but maybe she's not listening. Listening to what exactly?
But, right, if one doesn't care if anyone's listening to them, what is the purpose of broadcasting it out so that people do listen
that's
to
it? It's almost like they're sort of lost in space and no one's listening. I'll be back right after this on. What did you say? It's called Everything Old is New Again.
So what you're referring to? Watson. Sort of temporarily lost your mind. You're babbling about coming right back. Everything Old is New. You believe you're actually on the show?
There seems to be some kind of a 2-minute interval here that we have for something when people listen. And I'd like to understand, quite frankly, what are we trying to do here? What is we trying to accomplish with this investigation?
Well, last time, if you remember, 1 year ago to the day, before we started the 1-year-long argument over the quote-unquote servant issue, which I would refer to as Servant Gate. I'm not sure why I'm calling it Servant Gate, but it sounds
It sounds like a
plausible.
Precursor to some kind of a known problem. You have been a pronosticator of the future. And
quite true.
People do quote you in this time period.
It's quite true, yes. quite true. But to continue on, I believe we came to the conclusion that it must have portended the end of the world. However, being that there's more to the show, the end of the world, I don't believe it happened at that point.
So I think maybe we could revisit that when we get back to the real radio show itself instead of the podcast individuals. I don't know what's coming over me.
It's almost like you're being taken over by some other spirit.
I'm just reading
this. You're spewing
this.
Words that are unfamiliar to me.
Correct. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. It's like an exorcism kind of a situation. I'm saying something.
It's
I don't know.
Fascinating.
But I would, excuse me, pardon the burp there. I would tell you the truth. I feel a little upset.
How many Guinnesses have you had already, my dear Watson?
It's been a year long of Guinnesses, and we've run quite a tab, by the way, at this bar.
I shudder to think
of paying this bill.
Good question, my dear.
That would be the most of investigatory kind of a situation that needs to be undertaken immediately.
Perhaps we might slip out of the bar at some point without anyone noticing.
Holmes, the elementary. Fine. Thank you. Now what is...
You're listening to Everything Old is New Again, America's entertainment pop culture talk show with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Hi, this is screenwriter and author Carl Gottlieb, enjoying being on the air with Douglas Viviani and David S. Cohen on Everything Old is New Again.
All right, well, this is Dr. Watson, and I'm here with Sherlock Holmes at the local pub. And by the way, I'd like to just say to you, we're investigating what's called the investigation of Everything Old is New Again. What are we doing, Holmes? Direct me with what's happening here.
Well, if you remember, Watson, 1 year ago, before we started this interminable argument that fortunately we've resolved, we had concluded that the only result of this show, quote-unquote, was that it portended the end of the world as we know it. However, there's more to the show, so the end of the world didn't quite happen yet.
Because this is dated 2017 now. Now we're looking at clips from 2017. I've just seen... So now we know the time frame. We know that this is the future. But you also know the show is continuing and continuing. And I don't know why.
We must investigate further.
All right, there's something here, a clip. There's probably a clip. I just want you to hear. A barbecue guy or fondue guy.
More characters,
yes,
perhaps.
You brought a little white wine. What kind of wine is that?
It's a rare Indonesian wine from the Himalayas that was grown for approximately 1.7 years, harvested by locals by hand, shipped via a horse and donkey, and then in the air, but vacuum sealed at a temperature of 23 degrees Fahrenheit, where it was then removed from the airplane, placed into a vacuum sealed pack, and hand carried by yours truly here to the barbecue.
Well, what do? You order it on Amazon.com, you get it at 7-Eleven. Where'd you pick it up from after all that travel?
I met them at the airport, and I took it off.
Yeah, let me taste it. Let me see what it tastes like here. Let me see.
You're supposed to sip that. It's very rare type of wine. And
not so bad. But when I tasted it, wasn't so bad. I'm very thirsty. It went right down. I just drank like half the bottle here. That's all you got is the one bottle of this stuff?
It's very rare. Yes.
That's it. You bring one bottle of wine. You bring one bottle of stinking wine. Look here, I got this huge case. See this big box? I got two kinds of them. I got red and I got white wine right here in these boxes. Cost me nothing. Went down to 7-Eleven, picked those up just before the party started. I know where you go to an airport to get wine. All right, well, what can I tell you?
It was grown in the Himalayas. And I'm sorry, I'm tearing up a little bit. That was so rude. But at least there's a little left.
Ward, Robin from TV's Batman.
Oh, great. Robin's here. That makes me feel a lot better. But let's get us back on track. You know, barbecue guy, I've always had struggles with barbecues, and even though we got off to a rough start right here.
I'm waiting for you. I'll give you a lot of rare time right here. By the way, hey, Robin, how are you? Good to see you. You all right? Having a nice time for yourself? What do you think? Come on, say something to me, will you?
Hi, this is Ward.
Hey, Bert.
Robin from TV's.
I know who you are. Yeah, okay. So, and? He just walked away. He took the last piece of the last bottle, of that little piece of that bottle there. He took the last little bit of that wine with him.
He did, didn't he?
Oh, these two, they're really bourgeois, is what I would say.
Let me pose another theory, Watson. I believe that those characters we were hearing were actually the voices of Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
I don't think that's possible. How did you...
It's so transparent, Watson. I mean, the thought that those two could, believe that they're creating these actual characters just shows how dim-witted they actually
were. They seem to be two-dimensional characters, if you want to be some kind of a critic of the theatrical aspect of what's going on. They're two-dimensional characters.
I believe you're right.
So it seems to be like maybe they're not really a real character. I'd like to investigate that first. There's another discussion here. Some fondue imitating barbecue minute there, Bob.
Oh, interesting.
This is very interesting.
And then a cup of heavy cream right there. You got it? You got it? Follow along now. And the 3 tablespoons of bourbon. It's optional, but I say let's do it anyway.
I'll tell you what. You sounded terrific. Keep going.
And for the skewers, don't forget the skewers. You understand the skewers? I'm talking about skewers here. You got 2 rolls of skillet bread.
I know what it's... Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
You get your skillet. You know what skillet bread is? Do you take your skillet bread? You cut it
what
into...
What bread? What?
You cut it into... You shut up and listen to me.
But what's a skillet?
1.5-inch cubes. You got 2 ripe but firm. Ripe but firm. But firm bananas. Ripe but firm.
I'm going to have to answer you like the fondue guy. Let's see what the fondue guy will respond to.
Take a bag of...
I know what I...
Take a bag of marshmallows.
I now have a headache.
Then you basically put it on the floor, you stomp on it with both feet, throw it on a barbecue, and there you go.
That does not sound very appetizing to me. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, I'd like to have a glass of wine, some Beaujolais, and a little fondue, and that's all I would like to have.
Can I say that is the most intelligent statement I've ever heard you speak?
Holmes, now we're getting to some very rather complicated situation.
It's almost like multiple personality disorder, which I don't think will be a theory for another 200 years, but hey, I've just discovered it.
I think you might be some kind of a right on this, and I was the doctor, by the way.
I realized before you did.
Yes, you didn't let me say what I was going to say.
Oh, I didn't die. I apologize.
It's okay.
You're going to come up with the same theory.
Thank you, Holmes. I will take full credit for that theory.
You should.
My investigation, though, is interesting in that these two gentlemen are imitating each other, but they kept their same accent. So I don't know if I buy this business that you're saying that they're the same person. I don't know if that's the case. It's very difficult to see.
So now you're postulating that there are actual, separate characters.
Yes, that there might be a fondue guy and a barbecue guy, and then there's a Paul Sorvino. I don't know what this is.
Get some lemonade. Matter of fact, while you're doing that, what I'd like for you to do is give me a little idea as to what is happening with Paul Sorvino. All right? I mean, Paul's having a nice time over there.
Which one's Paul Sorvino?
Paul's the guy singing. There he is. You hear him? You're getting close. Oh, okay. Hey, Paulie boy, you're sounding good. How are you, Paulie? What do you think of Paul singing? Fondue man, you like the barbecue? You like that aura he's playing out there?
I feel like I'm in the middle of some really bad Fellini movie.
I don't even know who Fellini is. You talk, who's Fellini? What do you mean, Fellini? What's a Fellini?
Did you try the lemonade? It's quite tasty.
I think Savino's had a little bit of that lemonade. Paulie boy, you're sounding good. He's in full voice. I thought you would have liked that. It sounded like a little bit of opera there.
Yeah, sure.
So Paulie sounds good to you.
Are those ribs ready?
They're barbecue, that's for sure. I could put that together at least. What's a barbecue?
Well, what is a barbecue, Holmes? I mean, it sounds like... I just don't know. I believe we've descended into some sort of madness, really. I can't quite understand what's happening. I mean, really, Watson, do you have any idea what they're talking about?
So we're trying to put attach some logic to an environment where there doesn't seem to be any logic. It's an environment of total insanity. Of course, you see this at parties. You see this in the opium dens in London. And I find it very odd and difficult to understand logically why someone would act like this.
That's an excellent point, Watson. So what you're saying is that perhaps we're trying to analyze something logically, which itself is utter chaos.
Exactly. So sometimes you try to bring order to the chaos. But it's not possible, always. It's a mission impossible.
Well, let's continue to listen, and perhaps we can get there.
Well, we've got some plenty more clips to go, that's for sure. And we will investigate them. But first, I would like to talk about this bar tab that we've got at the bar here. We've been here for quite some time. Matter of fact, we've been here for a year arguing over this and trying to piecemeal this together. Who's paying for the drinks?
Excellent point, Bob. I mean, we've obviously, you know, slipped into this one-year-long rabbit hole, which we're just coming out of. In the meantime, we've downed many pints, eaten many pies, and have not paid a shilling for it.
And I've tried the Lord of Sandwich came out in the meantime with a development in the lunch meats. And I put a little meatloaf on a sandwich with two pieces of bread and some mayo. And
it's
some
quite
salt
good.
And pepper.
Yes.
It wasn't so bad.
Shall I speak with the bartender and
please tell
inquire as to how much we owe?
Please do so. I'd like to square that away. We'll be back. Okay.
Do you need any assistance, Watson?
But I got to tell you, I'm concerned about this bar bill. It's something I really I'm coming out of a fog. And I'm just saying, we've been involved in all this discussion and not looking at reality so very well. And quite frankly, I think we may own this bar at this point.
I spoke with the bartender, actually, while you were trying to figure out what a podcast is. Unsuccessfully, I might point out. But I did speak with the bartender, and I do have the bill right here. You're not going to be happy. apparently, it's well beyond the means that you and I have to repay. So I struck a deal with the bartender. Yeah. And the deal is that you and I work at this pub, serving spirits, cleaning up after the customers leave, closing up at night, for the next 15 years.
Oh, I'm a little taken aback.
I talked him down from 20 years.
What I'd like to do is I'd like to go see my publisher, and what I'd like to do is investigate the idea that I might have to publish a book about this, everything old and new again, investigatory process, and maybe we can earn some money from that and advance ourselves quite a little bit so that we can pay this bill.
I have an even better idea, although that's a good one.
Thank you.
All of these cases that you and I have been on for so many years, why don't we put them down in writing and sell them as novels or books?
Quite an interesting proposition.
Like The Hound of Baskerville. Remember that one?
Yes,
that was
a
great story, I think would make great reading.
So you say we put our misadventures into a draft form and present that to a publisher and try to get some money for that. So we'll be back right after this and everything else is new again. Another Mission Impossible, how are you going to pay this bill?
Now, back to America's Entertainment Pop Culture Talk Show. Everything old is new again with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
Hi, this is Lee Merriweather. You're listening to Everything Old is New Again with Doug Viviani and David Cohen. They are great guys.
That's some woman's opinion of these two gentlemen as great guys.
Not only is it a woman, Holmes, but her name is Lee. Lee is a man's name, typically.
It's a very awkward society, I think, they're involved in.
Yes. Speaking of awkward,
yes.
I spoke with the bartender about our bill.
Good, go ahead.
And I have it right here in front of me.
I'd like to square this to a year-long argument away, yes.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry to report that the bill is well beyond the means that you or I have of repaying at any time in this life.
This is difficult.
So I struck a bargain with the bartender. In exchange for said payment, you and I will work here at the bar for the next 15 years.
Oh, Holmes, this is just impossible to understand.
I talked him down from 20, by the way.
Quite frankly, I don't mind sitting here at the bar and having a libation with you every so often and discussing all of the cases that we've been on, including the investigatory process of the investigation of everything old and new again. But to be here for another 15 years cleaning tables is just indomitable.
Wait.
I would then be a subject of problems. I would be a servant then.
You're right. But I have a brilliant idea.
Back to the original argument, yes.
What if, in the footsteps of the future, that Douglas Viviani and David Cohen are basically taking their, quote-unquote, adventures and, you know, broadcasting them to people, Why don't we take the real work that you and I have been doing, the investigative reporting that you and I have been doing oh so many years, for instance, The Hound of Baskerville. Why not put that down in writing and sell those as books and earn money that way?
Brilliant, brilliant. This is why you're just a brilliant man. I would suggest that I would agree with that. I would begin working on that once again, immediately, so that we can pay this bill and move on. I'm not concerned with paying the bill. I am concerned with staying at this bar for another 15 years.
So I agree with you, and I predict that if we don't do this, Holmes, someone will write the stories about us and gain fortune that you and I were really entitled to.
Genius again. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Let us try to complete our latest investigatory process, and then we'll begin our novelization of these adventures. First, let's take a look. So, Pumpkinhead.
But this other one, all she cares about is that dog, Toto. All she says, I can't find Toto. Where's Toto? Why can't I have Toto? Why couldn't I buy Toto? She thinks she could buy people, buy dogs, because she liked the dog. She wants Toto. Where's Toto? Toto broke his foot during the performance of the show. Where's Toto? Why can't I get Toto out of my hair? Why did Toto make more money than the Munchkins? These questions. All she wants to know about is Toto.
All right, let me ask you two questions. One, can you please stop saying Toto? And number two, can't the Wizard of Oz... What about the wizard? He's the almighty, the all-being. Can he help
He's
you
a fraud. The wizard's not a fraud. Did you see the movie? He's a fraud. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Have you heard that thing?
Yes.
He's a fraud, this guy. I'm the magic. I'm the real magic. I'm a talking and walking pumpkin.
This is very fantastical. It's a walking, talking pumpkin talking on this program.
Do you think it's actual... An actual real character, the Pumpkinhead person?
Rather difficult to understand what they're all talking about. I do know that there's something named Toto that seems to be very popular in the day.
Quite annoying, wasn't it?
I don't understand.
What else do you have there?
Rather nothing we can get from that. I have to gather it. There's nothing we can gather. But what we can do, if we can take a look at the next part, is something about Pumpkinhead wanting some kind of a part in the show.
These Muppets, you saw those Muppets? You heard those Muppets? Those Muppets can talk? That Kermit just gets a job as the Scarecrow? Gonzo is the Tin Man? Fozzie Bear is a lion? It's insulting.
Jack, listen to me.
It's insulting. Muppets can get cast. I can't get cast.
First of all...
Muppets! First, you know what? By the way, the peanuts are better than the Muppets. I never heard of that.
First of all, your diction suddenly got very much clear. Better? I can understand you now. I don't know what happened in the last 10 minutes, but after 500 years, suddenly you're speaking like a normal person.
It's 100 years to Mickey Mouse, number one, and it's a brand new head. Now, when the head gets old, it gets used up in our coach's pants.
Well, why didn't you say that? We can do that. Because if we work with the window of time, when your head is fresh and you can speak, we can get your cast.
Well, somebody had a misunderstanding. It's been going around this room that it takes a new head every 2 or 3 minutes.
Oh, that's my fault. Sorry. Yeah.
Everything to listen, Pumpkinhead, settle down now. This room has been going around a long time. This guy, David Cohen, I don't know where he came that from, but I can do see. I bet you got that on Wikipedia. Is that where you got that information from, David Cohen?
I'm
don't
sorry.
Don't laugh at me. This is my life.
I don't mean to laugh. I'm very sorry.
Oh, this is indomitable, this discussion. Do you believe what you're listening to?
It's insufferable. Insufferable.
Who is this pumpkin?
You know what, Watson? I don't even care anymore. I don't care who Pumpkinhead is. Wait, who do you... play another clip before
I would just like to say there seemed to be four voices in that last clip. There was a David Cohen, Douglas Viviani, but then there was a Pumpkinhead there, or three voices. So I don't know if I subscribe to the fact that this is the same person or people. They're just having some guests on their program.
Perhaps, but all I know now is I need another Guinness.
Oh, boy, we're going to owe a lot of money this bar, that's for sure.
I said you're not a villain. You're a Bond. You got to listen to me. I've been in the business for 50 years. I'm the Agent of Oz.
How could I? Wait, listen, buddy. How is it possible that a guy with a pumpkin head is going to kiss the women and have a nice little time with them on the gondolas in Venice? I can't do it. The seeds are falling out of my head as we speak. Every time a seed falls out, a little piece of my memory is gone. What are you talking about?
Wait a minute.
Are you saying you'd rather play the villain?
Yeah, of course I want to play the villain.
No,
Here's the villain. Here's the problem. All the villains have like some kind of pet in their arms, a cat, or there's a, you know, this other one's got, they all have like the sharks in a big vat. They've all got these menacing animals with them. Problem is, with Pumpkinhead, they're all going to, whatever animal you've got assigned to this guy, he's going to want to eat his head. He's going to look like a fool.
Why does he need an animal?
Let me eat my head. I'm living in Oz for years and years. Let me eat my head. What are you talking about?
Jack, stop talking. Listen, you're not making the case for yourself.
Your head is a piece of fruit. So this every animal you got that's going to want to eat it.
This is nonsense. I just want to say, I heard four distinct voices there. Four different voices. So I don't know, Holmes, if you're going to amend your hypothesis.
It's ridiculous, Watson. I've descended into a state where I started actually agreeing with one of the character's arguments about not having an animal. Why do you need an animal if the animal would then eat the other person's pumpkin head, I believe, was the quote, which for me means we really need to either, as you say, take a break or we'll be right back, whatever verbiage you're using, because I can't stand it anymore, Holmes.
I think you're becoming...
I mean, Watson.
You might be...
You see?
I think you might be becoming a fan of this program, is what we're trying to say. Are you a fan now of everything else that we've got?
I hope not.
I mean,
I really
maybe you
hope
can
not.
Subscribe to the podcast. You can get the podcast. You can listen to the old programs on Everything Old Is New Again. Everything Old Is New Again.
It's a frightening thought.
We have one more minute left in Holmes. I really would like to use your investigatory skills. I would like to know, if we're going to be here for the next 15 years, where are we sleeping?
Good question. We might have to just continue to drink ourselves blind and pass out on the floor.
And we could become real good fans of the Everything Old Is New Again. Will Everything Old Is New Again be on for the next 15 years? That would at least make it possible at least to enjoy a little slice of life while we're working.
Or we can work on our books, as I mentioned before. I thought that was perhaps way
absolutely
out of this jam.
We are in quite a spot. Holmes, I can't believe you've been drinking that Guinness so freely through these last little while.
And yet showing no signs of inebriation.
Yeah, it's
quite remarkable.
Amazing characteristic.
That's why, when you have a mind as brilliant as mine, what
yes?
is that music?
I think we're going out for a commercial break.
Oh, whatever that means. Sure.
We're back in the old studio. We're going to find out what the heck you're talking about. Brilliant mind. Holmes, you were saying something. We got cut off by that. You were saying something. We have a mind as brilliant as yours.
Yes, that I don't remember.
This is the brilliance. It's just going down the tubes with that Guinness. You're drinking the Guinness.
I believe it is the
brain
effects
cells
of the Guinness.
Are being affected by
Watson. You need to cut me off.
This is very difficult to understand. The greatest criminal mind of our times, a criminologist.
I need to go on holiday.
I tell you,
to go on holiday.
This Moriarty is going to—he's getting over on us. I think that's what the saying is. The young kids are saying, "You're not. You're dulled. You've been dulled by this. Everything old is new again."
Perhaps you're right.
I think this show.
Perhaps you're right, Watson.
It's intended effect.
Made you babble quite often. It doesn't seem to be it's a stream of consciousness that finds its way through your mouth that just can't find an end.
It's very difficult. We've got time and. Time and time on our hands, and so I think what's happened is I've become insufferable with my opinions.
Watson, I love you like a brother, but really, you must put the brakes on. Now,
feel free. You have the floor, Holmes.
In this imaginary podcast, I believe you call it, that we're in the middle of. It seems that you've set up time limit parameters where we must stop and start again. How much more time, quote unquote?
We've got 10 more minutes.
By the way, did you see I've just invented air quotes with my hands?
You're a genius.
Yes.
You're an absolute genius.
How much more time?
10 minutes to go.
What?
That's it. We'll be back. All is new again. Oh.
Now, back to America's entertainment pop culture talk show, Everything Old is New Again, with Douglas Viviani and David Cohen.
I have to say, this was great fun. First of all, for those folks who don't know Doug and David for as long as I've known them, this is literally like a throwback to high school. I mean, these conversations were, exactly like they were a long, long time ago. It was great fun reminiscing about these old toys, but it made it a lot more fun to see you guys again and to chat with you.
There seems to be some gentleman by the name of Dan Neuberger, and he was talking about toys and yo-yos on this Everything Old is New Again program.
He had quite a fondness for Douglas and David, didn't he?
You know, I think it's interesting that he said that their discussions remain exactly the same as high school. And that shows that these gentlemen just have not progressed mentally, intellectually, and possibly physically since their high school days.
Watson, they are dullards. And you know what's happening now. I believe my senses are being dulled by listening to them. Watson, I feel like I don't have the edge I used to have.
This is the intended effect, I think, what they're trying to overcome. They're trying to make us all simpletons so that we actually look up to these gentlemen who are little more than a simpleton, if you understand.
I think it's working.
Yeah. They're dumbing down of America.
Oh, I like that phrase, Watson, that you just coined. Dumbing down.
That's what they're dumbing us down so that they seem to be intelligent. We've got a gentleman on an April Fool's show. James called in, and he was suggesting some kind of adventure that these gentlemen should go.
UFOs.
On.
I know the topic has been covered. Yeah, ad nauseum about the UFOs. But
yeah.
I want to hear from the perspective of a dentist.
Yeah?
I want to hear from the perspective of a dentist what he thinks of UFOs. I want the dentist to be live in the studio, not calling in. I want him to be sitting next to you and Dave, Doug, and talking about that UFO phenomenon. What do you think of that? Can you pull that off?
We can. We've had dentist Dr. John Viviani on, I think, 5 times talking about UFOs. He's our ufologist, by the way.
You're kidding.
No, he is, let me put it this way. He is the exclusive ufologist or ufologist for Everything Old is New Again. No one in the world has come on our show other than Dr. John Viviani to talk about UFOs.
There's a UFO. What's it mean, UFO?
Could it be an uninformed fictional object?
It must be. That's exactly. It must be something like that. You're right. You're a genius. I'm sitting this with genius.
Do you think I'm coming back to my senses a bit?
Well, I think it's possible. You're putting the pieces together like you always used to. There's a follow-up to that request that James made for Dr. Viviani's UFO. I think it's a follow-up here.
Okay, we'll actually ask you to investigate that personally and send us back some information on that. We'll have you back in a little while.
Or your staff.
Yeah. I got my staff on that.
All right, who's going to be that? The hygienist or is it going to be the receptionist? Which one?
It appears that this dentist is some UFO. Maybe it has something to do with dentistry itself. I'm not sure.
It could be. Yes. Why not? Why not have it about dentistry?
It must be.
But, Watson, I'm still struggling with this. The question I have in my mind, why do we continue to listen to this?
There's some kind of an addictive nature to this show. That's Everything Old is New Again. It's an addictive nature.
Apparently.
It's an addictive nature. It's something you need to watch. You need.
Oh, dear. Dear Lord.
Really, this is. Sorry, I can't get enough of it at this point, I'll be honest with you.
Are there additional clips we can listen to? There are more.
Yeah,
thank you. Play some more. Play, yes.
This guy James is going in again.
I'm a little starstruck. I'm into celebrities, but I don't want celebrities coming on talking about the inner workings of their home. I'm very interested in the bathrooms and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Of celebrities, you know, the cellars and things like that. I want people who knew the celebrities, who showed up at the celebrities' house.
Oh, not the celebrity themselves.
No. These unknown people who went in to say, I don't know, Frank Sinatra's bathroom and got a piece of toilet paper that was monogrammed with his initials. Something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I would love. There's no way you guys could do that. I'd love to hear it, though.
There's a book called In the Company of Legends. We had the authors on.
They have guests on this program constantly. It says we're hearing characters, we're hearing guests. I don't really.
And the callers in who are screaming such utter nonsense. But I can't get enough of it, Holmes. Holmes, that's me. Watson, I'm losing my mind, Watson.
You're just a mess. You're a puddle.
Slap me. I need you to slap me across.
home. Snap out of it, please. You've got this. I've got one more clip, and then we can discuss what's going on here.
Oh, dear.
A Tim Fallon, from the sublime to the serious, it's labeled.
And when he played youth soccer at 5 and 6 years old, he was the kid, you know, picking up worms during the game as the game is going around him. You know, he'd come back, who won, and he wouldn't even know. But we, you know, we encouraged him to play, and we signed him up because of the camaraderie, because of, you know, the sportsmanship. You know, it was the lessons that you learn elsewhere, the working hard, working together, working as a team, picking up somebody when they're down. You know, I really think a great life lessons, as you pointed out.
And now we have somebody giving life lessons that quite make quite some sense. It's Tim Fallon talking about coaching. This program is the gallery, the rogues gallery of individuals on this program. It's just beyond belief.
What do we do, Watson? What do we do?
We've got a few minutes here. Can we try to? Can we put this piece together? Can we complete our investigation so we can get on to writing this book and we can get out from under this tab that we have, this bar tab that you've seemed to have run us into here?
Perhaps, as I was saying before, the lesson we can learn from listening to them is that you and I must venture out and document our life story, Watson. Our adventures, our mysteries that we've solved, the crimes that we've solved, before someone else gains access to them.
So I think what you're saying is that this program is America's pop culture entertainment show. I've heard this in the beginning. Now, you're telling me that we should become part of pop culture.
Exactly, Watson.
Everyone has an opportunity to become part of pop culture, is what we're trying to say.
Why not us? Why not us?
There is no reason why. Well, the only reason
to quote a future television show. Why not you?
I tell you what, the only reason would be that we can't get out of here because we've got a tab running over our head.
Let's start. Listen, if we have to be at the bar anyway, I have some parchment paper. Why don't we start writing down the experiences?
I need
so
to
that
know.
On our breaks, on our 15-minute breaks, in between cleaning toilets, we can write the Hounds of the Baskervilles. We can write down the other adventures, of course, none of which come to mind at this inopportune moment, that we can put together into books to sell, Watson.
I would suggest to you that's a great idea, but I have a larger picture, a larger question. What? Who? I don't understand. This bartender, he let us run a tab for 15 years? Just because we didn't get up from the stools? Is that what it is?
Yes, that's an interesting point.
Can we suggest that we write a how-to book of how to run a tab for 15 years, or I should say for 1 year? Let me get it straight. We've been sitting here for 1 year.
Yes.
And we've not left.
Correct.
And we have a tab that's going to take us 15 years to pay off.
Correct.
This is just indomitable. I feel like I've got an elephant on my chest at this point. I really, Holmes, I don't know how to overcome this. We're going to have to write the memoirs.
Either that or you and I just run out of here. That's the other part.
I think they call that chew and screw. We could do that.
Yes,
it's not a bad idea.
Elementary, Watson.
But we...
I believe we should do that.
I think that'd be a lot easier.
Yes.
A lot easier than writing these memoirs. We'll leave that to some other gentleman to write about our...
That's true. Why spend one more minute here?
Who would be such a person that could write our adventures? I don't know.
Well, perhaps when we chew and screw, as you so elegantly put it, we can find that person to help us.
Oh, in November, we can do so.
It has to be someone who's been knighted. You know what I mean?
Sir,
I think the author should start with a sir.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, I know, is a gentleman. He's in he lives in the apartment next to me. He's a gentleman that, he knows Houdini. He knows that gentleman.
Does he?
He knows Harry. And he's someone that, I've never seen him write before. I don't think he's very successful. But he's trying to get away from the wife.
But if he heard...
His wife is indomitable.
If he heard our stories, Watson...
Yes, I think any excuse to get away...
They write themselves. You know what I mean?
Any excuse to get away from that wife, I think he will join us on our adventure. We could dictate our adventures to Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. And maybe that would be the way out of this real pickle we already got ourselves anyway.
So who leaves the bar first? Is it you or me?
What we do is we pretend we're going to the bathroom together.
Ah,
and we go out the window in the bathroom.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant, Watson.
I go straight to Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's house. If the wife will let us in, we just smell a little bit like alcohol. We may not get in. But if we're entitled to get into that house, we've got to present ourselves and our stories and get out of this fix.
One thing, Watson.
We can make money this way.
Here, put these on. Before you climb out the window, put these on. These are called sunglasses. We haven't seen the light of day in a year. They'll be quite helpful.
Thank you very much. We've got everything else doing next week. Pop Culture Entertainment.
barbecue guy here from Everything Old is New Again. Going to do a little recipe for you. I'm with the fondue man. How you doing, fondue?
Good, barbecue guy. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. I got a nice steak marination for you. You know what a marination is? A marination.
I've heard of marinating. But
yeah, well, you put it in a Ziploc bag. You're going to do is you're going to put your steak in there with a...
Do you mean Ziploc?
Yes, correct. 1 tablespoon of cider vinegar, 2 tablespoons of real honey, salt and pepper, fresh parsley, and do me a favor, a little dash of water. You marinate that in your Ziploc bag overnight with the steak.
Wait a minute, you forgot an ingredient.
Huh?
Yes, I believe you forgot the mustard.
Mustard in a marination?
Oh, it's heavenly. And
really?
There's a particular mustard that I enjoy using, Bauer's mustard.
I've heard of it. I mean, that's the stuff they use at the NASA Coliseum there on Long Island, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Bauer's Mustard. You can buy a jar online, barbecue guy, at abauersmustard.com. That's A-B-A-U-E-R-S mustard.com or from your local stores listed on their websites.
What's the website again? What are you saying? A Bauer's with an S? What?
A Bauer's with an S. abauersmustard.com.
All right. I'm going to go do that. I like the mustard there. The mustard's good for a hot dog, too, by the way. You want a hot dog?
Sure.
For the right on the grill right there for you.
I'm just thrilled we actually agree on something.
Ah, yeah. They got a little horseradish in there, too. I love it. It's fantastic. It
Bauer's Mustard. Bauer's.
A Bauer's. Mustard.com.
You've been listening to Everything Old is New Again, America's pop culture entertainment talk show. Find us on the web at everythingoldisnewagain.biz. That's .biz.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.